Hello and welcome to episode 519 of Berger on the Freak. I'm that bloke from Rugby League Project, Andrew Ferguson. You can find me on Twitter at AndrewRLP. Join me as always, it's the glorious League Freak. You can also find me on Twitter at League Freak. How you going there, mate?
I'm a dumb idiot, Andrew. I'm a dumb idiot. And I'll tell you why. Because I looked at the betting odds going into today's games. And the one with the Canberra Raiders and the Gold Coast Titans, who have been crap. And the Raiders had a handicap of 11.5 points, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking that's easy money. It's easy, okay? I only put $25 on it. The Raiders had 58% of the fucking ball in that game, and they still only won in the last 10 seconds of golden point. And I lost my money. And I put money on the Raiders. I put faith in the Canberra Raiders. So I'm a dumb idiot.
Yeah, what are you doing that for?
I don't know. I thought the Titans are the Titans. They're going to Titan, right?
Yeah.
I expected Kieran Foran to play 5 minutes and then walk off the field injured like he does in every other game. The only thing that kept the bet alive for so long is that Kieran Foran was actually on the field and did all of those different things on the field that Kieran Foran does that makes you scratch your head and go, that's interesting, which we won't go into. I'm just an idiot. I should never have bet on the Raiders.
Well, can I just say?
Yeah.
And this is going to sound like a brag. Or what do the kids say, flex?
Okay.
If you're going to make a bet, let me be the beacon to show you the way.
Okay.
To put it clear, full head of hair up here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Andrew made a bet too. That if and the bet was if the Tigers scored 30 points, he would shave his head on the podcast.
Yep.
Didn't even get close. You were home and hosed.
No, man, they've even scored 30 points in the last two games.
Yeah, yeah. I look forward to the bet you make next week, though. It's going to be interesting.
Still working on Panthers. That one. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be something to do with the Tigers' defense. Like, can they keep the Penrith Panthers below 10 points or you'll shave your head?
Is Cleary playing next week?
No, I don't believe he will be.
Ooh, I think the bet's going to be can Penrith beat the Tigers?
Oh, really? Oh, well. Maybe we should have a joint head shaving competition. See, it's not as like I shave my head. So
yeah, look, we both got it. It's not really much on the line there.
Yeah, I know. Who said we have to shave our heads?
Yeah, where'd that come from? I was on the train home from work today. And we thought, I'll just go check out Twitter and go, what the fuck is this shit? I went, better to go check the score, see if I need to get a haircut.
I don't make the rules. I just enforce them, okay?
Yeah. I assume it was Nadine, and I can't argue with that. Otherwise, probably I'll get in trouble.
Probably was. She's such a scamp.
Scallywag.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's... I didn't get to see much. I will go through what I did get to see, and that is South in the second half against Cronulla having the most pedestrian, dog shit, useless attack I've seen them ever have in the last decade, probably more.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much every time they got into the Sharks' red zone in the last 15 minutes, if it wasn't a one-out play, it was two passes from the ruck and then a forward or a center ran straight.
Yeah.
So the Sharks' defense, just it didn't have to move much, which also meant that you could then hide the weak defenders. Mm-hmm. And so South was just struggling more and more and more to get through. And when they did get through, it was just through constant bash and barge. And eventually that's just going to – it's going to happen. It's going to work once or twice. But when you're chasing two or three tries and you're still conceding them, I think it's probably a good idea that Dimitri gets the ass if he is getting the ass, because if that's what he could produce, that – mundane, dull game plan and still god-awful defense when his job is on the fucking line, it's not exactly... Yeah, you haven't really got anywhere to go after that, have you?
Nah, and I mean, early on, the Souths were putting in. And they, like, the effort they were putting in, it was the sort of effort that is like the coach's job's on the line and we're playing for him. Because I thought they might come out and just be dead right from the get-go. And if that had been the case, it would have been like, oh, man, that's a really bad sign for the coach. Like, they're not playing for him. But they seem to be playing for them. I just think that this Souths team, as is currently constructed, and they're missing a few star players. Like, they didn't have Latrell because he's been suspended. And then Ilias is, you know, he was dropped and then broke his leg. So he's out for a few months.
Yeah.
Campbell Graham hasn't played yet this season. So they're missing a few pretty key players, but at the same time, I don't know that they've got the talent to really get the job done.
That's the thing. I mean, you've mentioned basically three players.
Mm.
And if their depth is just by losing three players, is this?
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not a good sign.
It's not great. Sharks, they weren't great either.
No.
Their attack looked better than it has done in the last 2 weeks, but still a bit, things still aren't quite clicking.
Yeah, it's the not saying is, much considering they did it against Souths, is it?
That's right. The thing, though, is they look like far more likely to have improvement in them compared to Souths.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how much more improvement, though. Like, I think the Sharks have a pretty, I think their ceiling is not real high.
They've got enough improvement in them to be a top eight side. I don't see Souths having that much more improvement in them to get too much more higher off the bottom of the ladder than maybe 14th or something. They look done, which is crazy given it's so early in the year.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like you train the entire off season and this is what you come up with to start things off with. It's a bad sign. Yeah.
6 weeks. The other one I did get to see was the back end of the Bulldogs choke against the Storm.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game. I mean, the Bulldogs did pretty damn well considering, and the Storm weren't at their best, you know, but still, I mean, the result is what it is. The Storm won 16-14, and they really had to play to get that win.
That did, and I mean, as we did with the stats, we revealed that the Bulldogs do have a pretty good record in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And the Bulldogs have had quite a few poor seasons in that time. So,
yeah,
bit of a bogey club for the Storm, but I don't know. As the match wore on, it just, there was little things that the Bulldogs were doing that it was just, you're scratching your head. So there was one play near the end there, I think it was just before, might have been when Melbourne Storm scored the last try to take the game.
Mm.
And Connor Tracy, who's playing wing in this match, was, I'm pretty sure he defended 4 men in and he made the tackle before the try was scored. And going, why is he there?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because someone else wasn't there. He recognised that. He went there to fill that gap. But the problem was he's now out of position for that play and the next one, which is on the wing close to your own line. You know, it's just little things. I thought Bronson Cherry was a bit meh.
It's going to be interesting to see how things go for him because I expect him to slowly but surely lose some of the physical ability that he has in coming back to rugby league after his suspension.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'll also say Drew Hutchinson.
Nah, he's not a halfback. He's just not a halfback.
I think he needs to go to England.
He'd be a good halfback in England, but
he'd be one of those halfbacks over there that does okay as, you know, the halfback that can play hooker every now and then when you need your hooker to have a bit of a rest.
Yeah.
He's that sort of a player. He's not helping Burton at all.
No, he's not. And, you know, he's doing his best. I just think he's being selected out of position. But then again, like, they've got Toby Sexton at the club, and they're not going with him for whatever reason. I don't know whether Seraldo just doesn't like the idea of having a smaller halfback there. That's going to be an issue defensively, but it's just not working. And
the other player he had in this game was Jake Turpin, who played with the Broncos for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he played almost predominantly as a hooker and sometimes fielder and halfback. And in this game, lock.
Yeah, it's a strange one. But, like, I guess they've got to make do with what they've got, you know. And, they pushed the Storm pretty well. So at least they're not absolutely tragic anymore. Like, it's just good when you've been bad for a while to be in the race. So they're back in the race again at least, which is a good thing.
That's right, yeah.
I can't wait to see when Gus knifes Seraldo, because it'll happen.
Well, I mean, I think if Jason Demetrio, or as Phil Rothfield called him initially, Andrew Demetrio, for those who don't know, was the former AFL boss. Good one, Buzz. If he does get the arse, then the media's going to need a new person to go after on the coaching crosshairs, because they like getting coaches sacked. That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
So Serrato will probably be next in line.
But in an ideal world, you know what would happen for Phil Gould is they would sign Wayne Bennett. They would sign Wayne Bennett so he could be Wayne Bennett's boss,
and the clock would be ticking. That.
Yeah, he would love it. Now Wayne Bennett isn't an idiot; like, he's never ever going to do that to himself. Like,
oh God, no.
But that, like, Phil Gould would love that.
Imagine that the coaching staff at the Bulldogs would probably cost more than the playing staff. Yeah, did I also see in the coach's box, I could have this wrong, that Jason Taylor was in the Bulldogs coaching box? Is he an assistant coach there?
I think so.
They had Trent Barrett as coach and they've gone, no, we need Jason Taylor. He's proven to be a performer at this level.
I tell you what, every time I see Trent Barrett in the Parramatta Eels coaching box, I just think that's the place for him, quite honestly. I think there is no better place for him than there. Yep.
On brand.
Yeah, yeah.
The South side, they've conceded 196 points in six games this year.
Yeah, yeah, it's terrible.
That's 32.67 points per game, which is I did some stats during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're the 23rd worst team in the game's history in Australia for most points conceded after six games at the start of a year.
Far out. That's crazy.
Let me see. Where did I have that? Because here we go. This is the thing, okay. The team at the top is the Bulldogs from 1935.
Mm-hmm.
They conceded 301 points in their first six games.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high bar.
Yeah, yeah. Basically 50 points a game.
Yeah, yeah. The Cowboys in 96 were second with 262.
Wow.
The Cowboys were third from 2002 with 256. Then the University side of 1920, their first season, they conceded 252.
Mm-hmm.
South in 96, 250. University 1935, 235. The Knights of 2005, 230. Uni from 37, 227. University again in 1921, 224. Manly in 99, with 219. The Northern Eagles, 2002, 218.
Just back it up a minute, okay? Okay. 1999, the Seagulls. Yeah. Okay. Yep. 3 years earlier, they put out one of the best defensive teams of all time.
Yeah.
That just talks about how quickly it didn't just end. It fell apart into a free fall. It was insane.
It was. It really was. There's a bunch there in the 200s. There's another one here which is kind of goes on with that. West in 1994 conceded 202 points.
Mm-hmm.
They won two of those six games.
Oh, wow.
You think they made the finals, was it 93 or 91? I can't remember. Was it 93? They fell apart quick.
I can't remember.
Penrith in 2001 and Parramatta in 1991 both conceded 201 points.
Yeah.
West in 1999, 200.
Just a flat 200.
Yeah. Remember, that was our marker for possibly the worst team ever as far as points conceded.
Yeah, yeah.
And this South side have only conceded 4 points less than them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm.
It's, man, the problem that they have now is they've got a lame duck coach and they've got a lineup that needs just, they need to rebuild a little bit. Not completely, but just enough. They need to look at what the Canberra Raiders did over the last couple of years with some of the youngsters they've brought in. The Raiders have a lot of youngsters that they've blooded into their team, and Souths need to do that so that they're good for not just next year, but more the year after that. But you've got to try and nose his on his way out to start that process for the next guy, and that's a hard sell. When he is going to just be trying to coach for hopefully his next job. You know, he doesn't want to be losing games by a lot, but, you know, giving young dudes a run when he could try and salvage maybe an assistant coaching job somewhere.
If Anthony Seibold can get a head coaching position, if Shane Flanagan can get a head coaching position, the door is open for fucking everyone.
That's a good point.
So whether he'll get one in the NRL immediately is another question, you know, another thing. But I do believe he played quite a bit of a long part of his footballing career as a player in England.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, the other thing is, like, you know, we're living in a world where three different clubs signed Matthew Elliott up as a coach. So
this is very true. This is very true. I mean, Trent Barrett's been at two clubs as a head coach.
True. That's true. Just on Shane Flanagan, he is playing his son at halfback, and his son is not a first grade footballer. He was a borderline first grade footballer for a little while, but he is no longer a first-grade footballer. He's actually hurting the Dragons in every game he plays. And the funny thing is that they're stuck with him. Like, they signed both of those dudes up, the coach and his son, and now they're stuck with them. And who goes to the coach and says, stop selecting your son because he's garbage?
Yeah, I think the only person who could do that and actually have some sort of impact would be Ben Hunt.
You reckon?
Because if you're at the Dragons and you're Shane Flanagan, and Ben Hunt comes up to you and says it's me or him,
I reckon Flanagan would stick with his son. Hey, I think he's that arrogant.
He'd probably put him on the bench. I don't think he'd be game enough to drop Ben Hunt though.
You reckon?
Mm. Yeah, I don't think he would.
I put nothing past Shane Flanagan.
Yeah, that's true. You just say, hey, Kyle, have you got a headache? He's going, no. Trust me, you've got a headache. I've got some medicine for you, all right? Say, yeah.
He's liable to say, man, I get heaps of medicine. What are you talking about?
Constantly got a sore throat.
Should we read some emails that we've put off?
Yes, we should. We should. Okay. We've got to get some admin stuff done.
Okay, so this is another email that Owen sent in, and we've been waiting until we kind of had a clear episode to do the second one. We said we would love for him, I think it was something along the lines of, to do an article about Jerome Luai, but like a negative one, where it was something about, like, he was the reason the world was going to explode or something. I can't remember.
Right.
So this is the article he sent in. That is ChatGPT, which I always get wrong.
Yes.
Okay, so the title is Luai's Footwear Fiasco, Why West Tigers Should Think Twice. All right? It says, in the saga that has left even the most seasoned NRL pundits scratching their heads, the focus on Jerome Luai's potential move to the West Tigers has taken an unexpected detour down the path of fashion faux pas. Rather than lauding his exceptional talent on the field, the conversation has devolved into a critique of his choice of footwear, a decision some may argue could spell disaster for the Tigers.
Oh, this sounds very legit.
It sounds really legit. The Penrith Panthers maestro heralded for his instrumental role in securing three consecutive NRL titles and guiding Samoa to the Rugby League World Cup final, now finds himself in the crosshairs of controversy, all because of his taste in sneakers. Reports emerging from West Tigers camp suggest that Luai's affinity for flashy, ostentatious footwear has set alarm bells ringing among club officials. The concern, that's his penchant for flamboyant kicks, could sow seeds of discord within the team, disrupting the delicate balance of camaraderie and unity so crucial to success on the field. And then we've got a, this is great. This is like real, this is real modern day journalism here, okay? Because we've got a quote.
Oh, no way.
It's frankly absurd, lamented an unnamed source within the Tigers' inner circle.
Even ChatGPT gets it.
Yeah, ChatGPT, it's smart. We got to, you know. Okay, the quote continues. We're talking about professional athletes here, not runway models. Luai's footwear choices are emblematic of a larger problem, a lack of respect for traditions and values that underpin our club. Man, that's so good.
Oh.
While Luai supporters are quick to point to his stellar performance record and undeniable talent,
facts.
Yeah. Detractors argue that his off-field antics, particularly his outlandish choice in footwear, paint a picture of a player more concerned with style than substance. Here's another quote. Let's be real here, scoffed one critic.
Fox Sports commentator, that's what that is.
Jerome Luai might have some fancy footwork on the field, but it's his taste in shoes that's truly off-putting. How can we trust someone who can't even get their footwear game in order to lead our team to victory? As negotiations between the Panthers and the Tigers drag on, the spotlight remains firmly fixated on Luai's footwear follies. This really does. It's like,
that's perfect.
Yeah, it's like, this is what the media actually does, hey?
I tell you, I might just go here for my news in future.
This is me, it's ChatGPT. It's great.
Owen's got a permanent job now.
He does, yeah. It's like when you'll be reading an article and you're like, why are they talking about them playing music still? That's the sixth reference of them playing music. Like, there's never been a team in rugby league history that played a bit of music, you know? Anyway, while some continue to argue for his inclusion based on his undeniable talent, others insist that his divisive fashion sense proposes a threat to team harmony. In the end, whether Luai's footwear faux pas will ultimately scupper his chances of donning the black and gold of the West Tigers remains to be seen.
Oh, black and gold. Oh, jeez, it's also... it's also triggering all the Magpies fans. I love it.
It is. But one thing is certain. In the cutthroat world of professional rugby league, even the smallest misstep, or in this case, the wrong choice of shoe, can have far-reaching consequences. And then Owen writes, incredible stuff. I'm going to look at the International Game article too. Enjoy reading this. Thanks, Owen. So thank you for that, Owen.
Yeah, thanks, Owen. Using pen name Dean Ritchie.
Yeah. He sent in another one. I think we'll save that for the next episode, hey, because these are always good to read. And
these are gold, man.
It's brilliant. Now, we got another email sent in from Lightning McQueenbian.
Friend of the show.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
every time we're ever near Lightning McQueenbian's residence, we try and find unique ways to avoid seeing you for some reason.
Oh, really? I don't know.
I've never actually organized something up with him, but I think twice I've gone to Queanbeyan.
Oh,
and I mentioned something about it on Twitter, and he's gone, you could have fucking told me you're here, you prick. I would have fucking caught up with you.
Yeah, I haven't been to Queanbeyan in like fucking 8 years, man.
I went there because it was near where we were staying, and I went, let's go check out Seaford Oval.
Yeah.
And then we went and saw it and went, okay, photo, let's leave now. And so we did.
Queanbeyan is basically Canberra's Mount Druitt. Anyway.
Is that good? Or Canberra's Ropes Creek.
So, the subject is what the actual fuck.
Nice.
So he says, "G'day, cunts," with a KH. Yeah. What a cracker of a season it's been so far. Some of the games have been amazing, and I reckon most rugby league fans would agree. That coach try is the stuff of legend. My head is still spinning after that one. I am one very happy NRL fan, albeit a Parramatta Eels fan.
Poor bastard. You have our sympathies.
Yeah, exactly. I was at the game on Easter Monday with my family. I travelled up from Quangers. Is that what they call it down there, Quangers?
Where?
Queanbeyan.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's what he says. Quangers.
Never heard it called that before.
I've never heard it either. He travelled up from Quangers to Combank to watch, and what a fucking disappointment it was. It was the second time. To keep in mind, this is the Eels game against the Tigers a couple of weeks ago. It was the second time I've made the trek to Sydney with the family, and the second time the Eels have lost to the Tigers by a field goal in the dying minutes. Oh, shit.
That's fucking cruel, man.
Yeah, that sucks. My wife and daughter were very happy with the end result. My son and I, not so much. The Eels looked like they were in slow motion the whole time. Clunky attack and defense was ordinary at best. Gutston doing the majority of the kicking was terrible. He's as slow as a wet week and doesn't have the boot of Moses or that Brown has. And that rushing in from the wing and leaving the edge exposed for the opposition to run around them shit was worked out by every fucking club like 5 years ago. Yet here we are in 2024 still doing the same shit. Also, someone needs to have Sivo's dog on the sideline with a gun to its head and say, run hard or your dog gets it. Now, look, hang on. I just got a message. Did I just get a message from you?
No.
Someone just messaged me, hey.
Oh, read it out.
I know. Let's find it. How do I see the messages on Skype?
Oh.
It doesn't look like. My thing went off like I got a message. Damn, I would have read it out too. Anyway, let me go back to the email. So we were threatening Sivo's dog last time.
That's right. With imminent death, unless he ran straight and hard.
Yes, which, by the way, we both endorse.
Absolutely.
Because he's fucking hopeless at kick returns and needs something to motivate him to run with purpose. I think that Sivo is like, I think he's got a massive knee problem. I think he's probably got a degenerative knee problem that's because he's not moving like he used to anymore. Anyway. I reckon the Eels are in the same boat as South in that they need to start looking past this current crop of players and working on what to do for the future. I agree.
Yep.
I reckon the Panthers are still the team to beat, and a four-peat is highly likely, which would be awesome. I always say that when my team aren't in the grand final, I just want to watch history. The Storm are going to be up there somewhere, and I'd love to see the Warriors do something in the finals this year. As long as Manly and the Raiders are losing, I'm okay with how Parramatta is going. Thanks again for the great content, boys. Love your work. Lightning McQueen being PS, fuck Manly.
That seems fair.
Excellent. I always fuck Manly, huh? It's interesting with the Eels. You and me have talked about it. They committed to all those players that proved they couldn't get the job done. And I think that's what you end up with, you know. You end up with a team where they've proven they can't get it done, and they stuck with them.
Just letting go of Reid Mooney, man. None of that made sense. Even when you consider who they bought to replace him with, you're going, it makes even less sense now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what would you take a very talented, very, very, very good hooker and replace him with someone who was, comfortably 10 years older than him, starting to get quite injury prone and hadn't had a good season for a few years?
Yeah, exactly.
How's that a smart decision? How does that help? And it hasn't.
No. I tell you what, watching them on the weekend and the way that Clint Gutherson carries on the football field, I got the feeling that his teammates are fucking over him.
He's a punishment. As I said, they need to move him in at six. He's killing a fullback. They're not getting anything from kick returns, and it means that their forwards are starting flat-footed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not getting a chance to lay a platform because their forward pack is reasonably good. I'd say it's one of the better forward packs, but they're not getting a chance to do anything at all to help their team out because they're all starting flat-footed and the defense is on top of them. So they're going nowhere. It doesn't matter how good your forward pack is at that stage.
And look, Gutherson's running around and he's yelling at all his teammates. And I would just get to a point where I'd say, why are you telling me what to do? You've never fucking done anything yourself. Like, the highlight of his career was playing 4 minutes off the bench in the centers in a State of Origin game. That's literally as high as it's got for him.
Oh, and Moses yelling at him.
Yeah, like, that's it. Like, what's he going around? Like, he's the ultimate fucking... He's running around yelling at people like he's Wally Lewis in a State of Origin game. It's like, dude... Shut the fuck up and concentrate in your own game.
Really, he's the king.
And he's not. He's just not. And yet, like, they're doing this thing now at Parramatta where they're starting to become like Canberra, where it's like, oh, I really like this guy. He's just all about what this team's about. And it's like, well, yeah, fucking losing. Congratulations. You're stuck with him.
Yeah, he's... I don't get it, man. I don't get him.
I'm just glad he's fucking on Parramatta because, can you imagine if he was your fullback?
No,
it's like a mouthy Peter Jorgensen.
Oh, come on, he can kick goals occasionally. Maybe he's more like a mouthy, bad attitude Luke Cavell.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just crazy to me. Like, he is running around, like, going the whole game at it. Like, his teammates, the opposition, the referee. And that's not competitiveness. That's just being fucking annoying.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that kills a bit of team harmony pretty bloody fast.
Yeah. And I swear, you watch them. You watch them every time he's running around, like, nonstop, mouthing at them. They look tired of it. They look so fucking over it.
Well, I mean, we mentioned it, what was it, last year, the year before, we're talking about the Knights coach, Adam O'Brien.
Yeah.
And how the players had stopped responding to him to, you know, having tantrums and throwing fucking furniture around every time they were playing poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So he realized he had to change his tact and change his approach, and the performance started to change. Funny how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You tend to find in any workplace, in any team environment, if you're an adult, you want to be treated and spoken to like an adult, not like a child. And the problem is if you're going to start talking to people like they're children, they're going to behave like it because you're setting the standard. And
the other thing is too, like Mal Meninga walks into the room and he says, I'm going to tell you something about your rugby league playing. You sit down, you shut the fuck up, and you listen, right?
Yep.
When Clint Gutherson says, I'm going to tell you about your rugby league playing, you say, cool, Clint, you just wait here a minute, and you'll walk the fuck out.
Hang on, I just got to go to the toilet.
Yeah, you just say, wait 1 minute, you just wait right here, and then you go home.
Sit on the Xbox.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The reason why I keep saying he should be a 5'8", man, he'll have to do a bit of defense, and doing a bit of work in the middle would probably shut him up a little bit, which would probably help out team harmony a little. Plus, you could actually put a proper fullback in there who could do proper kick returns and help get the sets off to a good start. Unlike you, and I'm not fully against your view on him, because to an extent I agree with it, I do think he can provide something of some value to an NRL side that is called Parramatta because they're pretty dross. but it is 100% not at fullback. The problem is they've got better halves than him at the club already.
Yeah.
So that's why he's at fullback, because the halves have got there where he should be playing comfortably better than him. But they don't want to drop him because... He does have something to offer, but it's only as a 5'8". That's his only position. I know he's played a bit of centre, he's played a bit of fullback, No. If you had to pick at the absolute peak, a centre, would you pick Clint Gutherson at centre or Dean Collis?
I'd pick Dean Collis.
Yeah.
Collis is bigger, better defender.
Knew how to get outside his man. Actually ran with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, and could tackle.
Yeah, and shut the fuck up.
Yes.
Parramatta fans, they love him. They love Gutherson. And I'm happy for them to love Gutherson, quite honestly. Yeah.
If anything, they should probably pay him more.
Why?
So that no one else would be interested in buying him.
Look, I think that's what they did at the last. When, you know, he comes off contract. You know what Parramatta's like. Yeah. They're like, we got to swoop in and get this guy.
So, how much do you want, Cliff? He goes, oh, $1 million. He said, no. Let's make it 1.2 just to be on the same size.
Yeah, exactly.
Did someone say 1.2? We better make it 1.3. I heard someone say 1.2. Yeah, we'll make it 1.3. He's like, that was you, wasn't it?
It's like it's them and the Manly Seagulls like to negotiate against themselves. So, speaking of which, they will have Zach Lomax there at Parramatta next year, and I think he'll fit in right in with a bunch of other players that have never won anything. It'll be good.
Where are they going to put him?
Well, he thinks he's a centre. And he's he's a winger. So they'll probably play him in the centres for some time.
Well, Simonson and we said before, big fellas on the other wing, Sivo, they are comfortably better wingers than Lomax. Comfortably.
I really do think that it's going to come out that Sivo's got a problem.
You know what? He very well probably does. Mm. He's still a better winger than Lomax with his problem.
Yeah, I would say so. He gives you such good go forward and he can cause a lot of problems. I saw some people on Twitter saying that Parramatta should see if they can swap Sivo for Lomax this year. I don't know how that would work for money because apparently Lomax is on a lot of money. But
I would talk like to... on. Oh, what's it, 650 to 800, somewhere around there.
I feel like the
deal they signed for was over 2 million for, was it 3-4 years?
2.6 for 4 years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I mean, they don't need a goal kicker because Moses is the goal kicker.
Well, that's the other thing. That's probably what they are looking at him for, though, because Moses has had... you know, a few niggling leg injuries over the last few years. Maybe in their mind, they think, let's take the goal kicking off. It might save his legs a little bit.
It's just a lot of money to commit to a guy.
He's kicking goals.
He hasn't ever really won anything. And then to a team that hasn't won anything. And it's like, can we get some, what they need is a couple of veteran players that have winning experience.
It's not even the fact that he hasn't won something. It's the fact that he's in a position where there's a fuck ton of just people available. You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
For example, and this is an extreme example, but Luke Brooks would be able to command the money that Lomax is asking for because there's not a huge amount of halves around. And we're seeing at the moment that if he's got the right playing environment around him, he's actually a lot better than people realize. But you don't have to go and spend 800 grand, 600 grand, 700 grand on a centre or a winger. There's fucking tons of them everywhere playing in your low grades that are going to give you basically the same performance for 150, 200 grand a year.
Well, and you look at, I mean, even fullback is another one that I understand if you get a real, real good fullback, hold on to him, pay him and hold on to him. But if you haven't got a fullback, there are a lot of good young fullbacks running around. I mean, Souths had that young bloke, Jai. What was his last name?
Oh yeah, he played on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. He looked good. The young fullback that played tonight for the Canberra Raiders looked all right. He didn't look out of his depth.
Sorry, Jai Gray.
Jai Gray, that was it. And so there are really talented fullbacks around. Like even Tristan Saylor played really well when he was filling in for the Broncos recently. So, and you've got the young bloke for the Storm, He's playing in reserve grade. He'd start in a lot of teams.
He's just coming back from injury.
There's a lot of good fullbacks. You know, you go to Fiji, there's just like great wingers walking around everywhere.
Going down the road to get some milk.
Yeah. You just go up to a guy and say, have you ever heard of rugby league? He's like, no. And he's all of a sudden, like 6 months later, he's the best winger in the game, scoring 22 tries or something. But yeah, it's a lot.
Here's the thing, all right. You mentioned one, okay? The young, I think it's Farlongo, who's the Storm fullback, the young guy there. Would Parramatta be making a wise decision if they said, we want Ryan Pappenhausen? Because I think the Storm would let him go, knowing they've got a pretty good long-term replacement sitting just behind him.
Yeah, look, I do. I think that would be great. Can you imagine that Parramatta team with Pappenhausen in there? I don't know how it'd work with the salary cap now, but I'd much rather roll the dice in trying to get Pappenhausen than having Lomax on the books.
Yeah.
I'd like the chance at least.
It would make a bit more sense.
Yeah.
And then you can put Gutherson on the bench and then not run him out.
Yeah.
Just for fun. You can sit there and be a cheerleader on the sideline.
You could McGinnis him like Tommy did, yeah. Tommy in the State of Origin game where New South Wales were busted and he still didn't use him.
No, I've got to protect him.
Yeah, far out. That's terrible. But, yeah, it's like I know the Eels won on the weekend, they're going to have a rough season.
They've got the Dolphins in Darwin this week coming up, and then they've got Manly Brookvale. And then it gets a bit rough for them. So they're going to need some wins either side of the bye. But, yeah, after the bye, they've got the Broncos and the Storm.
The Broncos look really good.
Yeah, I mean, by then they're going to be back to close to full strength as well too.
Yeah.
And Parramatta's going to be facing them at full strength.
I have liked what I've seen out of Madden at halfback for the Broncos.
Former Tigers halfback.
Yeah. He's doing the job.
Yeah, he's a pretty solid player. He's also pretty handy defensively as well.
Yeah. And look, that's all you really need to do behind that Broncos pack is just do an okay job.
Yeah.
You got Ezra Mim outside you, so you're always going to have attack and options and things like that. But they've got a good backup there, which they need because you can't rely on Reynolds, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. What other emails do we have?
Well, the only other one we've got is the one from Owen that we're saving for next week.
Okay, cool.
If anyone wants to send an email, send it to podcast@leaguefreak.com.
That would be absolutely perfect. We'll read that out as well.
Mm-hmm. You can also go through the website, go through the we've got a contact form. So if you go to fergoandthefreak.com and go to the contact page, you can send an email through there.
Absolutely. Now we'll go through a few of the YouTube comments as well while we're here. What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see. I'm trying to find a good place to start here. Someone replied, this is to an episode that says here, Alexander and Carter better than Cleary and Luai. What in the holy cunt are you talking about? Laughing face emoji.
I think it's hard to argue that Luai and Cleary are better than Carter and Alexander.
Yeah.
I think Carter is... Like he was a really, really top class defender. He was probably a better straight ball runner than Luai. Luai has obviously the better footwork.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of similarities between them, but Carter was a bigger dude as well.
Yeah.
I'd probably take Carter over Luai. Keeping in mind, I'm talking about I know what Carter is at his peak, and I don't know that we've seen Luai's peak yet.
That's right.
You know, that's what we're talking about here. And Alexander, I mean, Alexander's a legend for a reason.
Yeah, and I think given given the period that Brandy played, I still think that he is at times criminally underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Played 5/8 halfback and fullback at a time when that just wasn't happening much, and elite at all three positions.
Mm-hmm.
Elite. And you think he still managed to play test football at a time when there was Brett Kenny, Terry Lamb, Ricky Stewart, Alan Langer, Wally Lewis. Let's mm-hmm. not forget that one.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Mortimer. These people all running around playing at their absolute peak as well. And he still managed to play test football and went on two kangaroo tours.
Yeah, he was one of those players where they're like, we have to bring this guy. He's that talented. And, you know, if he was running around today, he'd probably be the first picked for the Australian team. We know what Alexander was at his very best. Do we know have we seen Cleary's best? We haven't. So, you know, give it time. By the end of their careers, I think that Cleary definitely has the possibility to be rated much better than Alexander. And, you know, for Carter, I mean, it might be the same with Luai, you know, so we'll see.
We will indeed. And that's the thing that's great about this. We will get to see.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, the fact that they're even in the conversation is outrageous.
That's right. A few comments here about the episode where we spoke about the NRL going to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So USA Rugby League Union fan, hell of a name, said, I have a buddy who lives in LA. He's a Union fan. He took the bus to Vegas on Saturday. Took around 5 to 6 hours. I talked to him about league all the time. He said he wanted to check it out. He then left at 10 p.m. and took the overnight bus back. The whole week of festivities was absolutely superb.
Oh, that's cool.
Rugby League History, who's a regular commenter.
Yep.
In terms of revenue and making the NRL some money, it was a success, but the American telly numbers were appalling. It would also be interesting to know how many Americans were actually in the crowd for the games that just showed up out of curiosity. There was a ton of Aussies that flew over for the matches, and I think they made up the majority of the crowd.
Yeah, and they would have that data. They would know where the tickets were purchased. So I haven't seen anywhere where they've mentioned that number, which leads me to believe that it wasn't too many locals. But there were some locals there, which is, you know, better than none. The TV ratings, yeah, like they you would hope that they're bigger next year, that's for sure.
That's right. To the episode, we had round one into round two, the director's commentary. Yeah. I can't remember what we said in these. But Carsten Brummer replied with, just don't.
Oh, yeah, I remember what that was about. That was about the eagle's nest.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Actually, he said, don't. And then another reply said, just don't.
Yeah.
tempted him. And Wobblin' Jaw Sports said, if Stephen Kearney got a head coach anywhere again, we'd all riot regardless.
I think so too. We'd be in the fucking streets.
Carson again for the what we think of NRL, of every NRL team so far. He said, yeah. I think they renamed Manly's home ground to Brooksvale Oval already.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That is.
Everyone is injured, but the footy's been great. We've got a few comments on this one. Three of the four comments from Carsten Brummer, though.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I thought Gwyneth Paltrow produces stuff out of herself.
She does. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, she makes candles.
That's right.
I don't know how she does it, but she makes candles. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but it's something to do with candles and her downstairs area. I wonder what the fragrance is called. Who knows?
Moist.
Yeah, I don't know. I dare not suggest any.
How do you get the candle to actually light?
I don't know.
That'd be a challenge, I reckon.
It would.
He also said, but Robbie Schnitzels were better. I don't know what that was about.
I can't remember. No.
I've got a horrible memory for what we've said in the past.
Yeah, same here.
Rugby League History said, the Gold Coast have had many false dawns since 1988, and this is obviously another one.
Yeah, that's true. He's right.
Yep. Had a bunch more here from Carson on the Ian gets ChatGPT to write us the greatest rugby league article ever.
Yep, yep.
He said, if you need a grumpy, moaning, sarcastic person on the podcast, you can get me back on. But then you run the realistic chance of being banned from all broadcasting platforms. Why does News Corp still pay Jerkless when ChatGPT, the Chad, not the one with the Lego hair, is so good? In my opinion, national teams should be restricted to 4 heritage players, but that would kill Samoa Tonga too, and we'll be back to 3.5 competitive teams.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And he said, if I hear the words expansion and English-Australian businessman, I shut my brain down.
Yeah, I get that too. It's funny when you see combinations of things come up. Like if I said there's going to be a preseason game in China, like it's like, oh, yeah, this one again. They're going to play they're in talks to play the World Club Challenge in, you know, the Seychelles Islands. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah. There's an American businessman and he's got an eye on buying a club. Like there's just certain things we've heard over and over again.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just, once you've heard them enough, you just tune it all out.
Now he says here, I'm disgusted. I gave you a non-publishable live show and I'm not in the Hall of Fame. I just want to say, the Hall of Fame is beneath you, Carsten.
Yeah.
You're way above a Hall of Fame, man. You're even above Immortal on our list.
Yeah.
Figure that. I mean, do we put him above God? Well, I mean, I don't believe him, so.
We need to come up with a title for him that is fitting for his standing.
Mind Führer?
That's exactly what I was going to say the Führer are funny.
There we go. That'll work.
Yeah.
He then also said, Penrith's reign will end in a salary cap scandal, as is norm for the NRL.
You know what? It fucking is. That's the crazy thing. I saw some people arguing on Twitter about teams that had broken the salary cap and all that. And it was funny to see because we've looked into all of it and there's like 3 teams that haven't. And Penrith's one of them. Touch wood. But like, they've basically all broken the salary cap at one point. And yeah, it would be weird at this stage. I think that it changes it though with how much salary they can pay players now. I think when we were like trying to get by paying like $3 million for an NRL team, there was a huge incentive there. Whereas there's less of one now, but you never know. You never know.
Rugby league history.
Mm-hmm.
They've put 2 comments on this episode as well. Mm-hmm. It says, I didn't even know there was a rugby league scene in the Republic of Ireland. At the last World Cup, I don't think there was a single Irish player in the team that was actually from the Republic or Northern Ireland. His other one, mm-hmm, kind of fits in with what we were talking about just before we started this. He's having a crack at you.
Okay.
League Freak is generally on the mark, but he's way off on the Gutherson talk. And he's got in quotation marks, he doesn't trouble the defence. He said, he's only scored nearly 90 tries for Parramatta and is the 5th highest try scorer in their history. There's more. Did you want to have a rebuttal there?
No, go for it.
Okay.
Let me hear it. Yeah.
Gutherson might not be the best fullback, but you can never fault him on effort or commitment.
That's true.
Parramatta's record when Gutherson is not playing is pretty bad. Even last year when he were off the pitch for 10 minutes against Cronulla, the Sharks scored 2 tries in about 5 minutes. They fell apart without him out there.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I agree with all of it. Like, he tries his ass off. He's just not good.
There's 2 more here. Carsten Brummer again.
Yep.
This is on the last episode. Imagine being a Salford and a West Tigers fan. I know one, and the Nofa thing is funny with him. The Nofaluma not having a clue in defence.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably fitting in well at Parramatta. I'm surprised he didn't get a gig there.
I can see why NRL clubs didn't want him.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole running in off the wing thing, that's very much an Eels thing. I'm surprised he didn't get a gig over there.
That's true.
And Rugby League History said, Malman Ingle was a pretty average coach at club level. Yes, he did reach the finals with Canberra. He was there for 3 of the 5 seasons, but they never really did anything amazing. He has a great record for Queensland and Australia, but to be fair, you could put a mannequin in charge of those teams, they'd still win.
That's true. The thing about the Canberra Raiders, his time there, though, they weren't ever terrible. Like, he didn't have the sort of seasons that, like, a Nathan Brown or a Anthony Seibold or a, like, what's the dude in Newcastle? Fucking Adam O'Brien. Like, there's a lot of coaches that have had terrible, terrible seasons. And when we looked at that Canberra Raiders team that was really crappy, like, they weren't horrible, like, just tragic. They just weren't good. I guess that's my point, is that if you put Mal Meninga as your club's coach, they're not going to tank. They get, like, even if they're bad, they're not going to be pathetic. And there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just found over the years, like many years,
mm-hmm.
Canberra's just been, for the most part, middle of the road.
Yeah.
There's only been really for me one season where they stood out where you went, oh, fuck, we're playing Canberra this week. And that was 2016 when they were just, if they got off to a good start, they would fucking destroy their opposition. They'd run in tons of points. And that team, attack-wise, when it comes to like points scored per game, was up there with that team from 94, which was just insane. That's how well they were scoring points.
Yeah.
That's the only time I've watched a Canberra side since that 94 team and gone, yeah, there's going to be a big score on today. And sure enough, they deliver more often than not. And I don't know how they managed to get to that point and then completely move away from it and never return to it so quickly. Just came out of nowhere.
I felt like that season was a bit of a moment for them. I never felt like they were going to win the premiership that year. But
no, and that's I'm the same. That year was all about really middle defense and meters through the middle. And they were making a lot of their meters on the edge of the ruck. And it was, they had a different style to the other two top teams that year, which was Melbourne and Cronulla, which is what helped them get to the, you know, to the top end of the ladder and dominate a lot of clubs. But when it came to playing in the finals footy, they didn't have that extra gear that you needed to get to the grand final, which obviously is why they fell short. But they were a good team to watch in 2016, but you never felt like they were going to go that one step further. You just, something about them just, I don't know.
It's funny how you can have that with certain teams where they don't have that extra gear you need.
Yeah.
Parramatta in 2021 were like that. Like, they could be at a certain level, but they just didn't have that extra gear. And you saw it in the grand final when Penrith went there from the get-go and just absolutely annihilated the Eels in the grand final that first 30 minutes. Parramatta couldn't go to that point. North Sydney were like that in the 90s.
Oh, classic example.
They were like, they would give you 90% in every single game. But when you had to go past that 90% in the finals just to compete, that was the problem. They couldn't go past that 90%.
And they had some pretty bloody good sides too when you look at them on paper. And yeah, couldn't get that little bit further.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most successful teams in that mid to late 90s era. Was that North Sydney time? Out of all the teams that have played.
Through the 90s too.
Yeah. One of the most successful teams to never reach a grand final. I think the other one that's going to come close would be maybe the Sharks are in the start of the 2000s.
Yeah, they were pretty good. They had a lot going for them in the 2000s.
And mind you, their run was much shorter than the Bears one. They had about, was it 3 or 4 seasons there where they were constantly in the top end of the ladder.
Yeah.
And got to the finals and just turned to water.
Yeah, it was really strange.
They were brilliant attacking team. But yeah, that North side was insane.
They had everything you needed. They on paper, they looked like they had everything you needed. They had the halves, had a good hooker in Soden. They had a really good, strong forward pack that was well balanced. That was and it had a good bench rotation with it. They had really fucking exciting outside backs. They always had a good fullback. And yeah, they every single time they got to the finals, they just couldn't get it done. It's very strange.
I don't know how they managed to do that. What else did you say in here? At the end of the day with the Jennings thing, the NRL should have thought a bit harder before signing Jennings. You can't sign someone on and then go, oh, well, we're not going to honour the 300. This guy's a bit wrong, but still allow him to play. Kind of makes no sense. Once again, League Freak's comments on St. Helens are either satire or highly misguided, or he's still bitter about Saints winning the World Club Challenge.
I don't get bitter about games in February.
St. Helens are the second most successful club in English rugby league. Who's number one?
Who's number one most successful?
Yeah, the main name of the city that St. Helens is a suburb of.
Wigan. Wigan. What I'm saying is, right?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is.
Yeah.
Actually.
Say it.
We have a statistician here, right? Would you be able to go and have a look at the crowds in 2023, right? For St. Helens during the Super League season at their home games. Can you bring that up?
Sure. Let's see. St. Helens.
Mm-hmm.
Average crowd, 12,783.
Not good. Now, what was their highest crowd?
Their highest for that year?
Yeah.
Let's see. 17,088.
And who was that?
Against? Wigan.
Oh, that's no surprise. What about the previous year?
Previous year?
Can we go to the previous year?
Let's do that.
Okay.
St. Helens, so the average for the previous year was less, 11,896.
Okay. Ooh, that's not good. What was their highest crowd that year?
17,980.
And who was that against?
Wigan.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, maybe it's just because Wigan's good. Let's go to 2016. No, in fact, you pick a random year for me, Andrew.
You want me to pick a...
Yeah, because I might be biased.
Okay, are we putting any parameters on this or not?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. No, okay. I won't go stupid. Let's keep it in the 21st century.
Okay.
Does that seem fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So we'll go to... Let's take the whole... COVID issue out of this situation.
Yeah, we can't do COVID. Yeah.
But we'll go to 2017.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say 16. So 17. Yeah, well, not.
I was thinking 2017. Wigan didn't have a great year. They finished sixth.
Okay.
Didn't even make the grand final that year.
There you go.
So we'll make this try and help out Saints as much as we can here.
So yeah, this is a year where maybe there was a little less interest in St. Helens in Wigan, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
St. Helens' average crowd that year was 11,074.
Ooh, that's not good.
And Wigan's was 13,885.
Yeah. Well, they had a bad year.
Yeah, it was only a little bit down. To be honest, it's kind of been the same for both of them the majority of the time, but... there is this kind of common trend, and that is Wiggins is always more.
Yeah. Very common trend.
Very common.
Yes. What was their highest crowd that year in St. Helens, though?
15,248.
Who was that against?
Wiggins.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Have you got the crowd figures for, like, I'm just going to pick a season, 2002?
2002?
Yeah.
Of course we do. We've got them around here somewhere.
Okay.
Let's see, there it is, Tetley Super League. St. Helens. They're in a different venue this time, weren't they? Knowsley Road.
Yeah, the old ground.
10,280
was their average.
Yep.
Okay.
Which was only 20 less than Wigan.
Okay. Yep.
Two clubs had a higher average than both of them, actually.
Ooh, let me guess. Leeds and Bradford.
Yeah. So we'll go to St. Helens. Biggest home crowd for the year. I take it that's what you're going to ask.
Yes, please.
They had three games where they were at capacity, which at that ground was 15,100.
Oh, there you go. And who was that against?
Two of them were against Wigan and one against Bradford.
There you go.
The one against Bradford was in the finals.
Well, that's interesting. That's very interesting. All I'm saying is, if you want to attend a big crowd in St. Helens for a rugby league match, go and see Wigan play in St. Helens.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it's pretty clear.
Yep.
So that's a bunch of comments from episodes this year. Yeah. Here you go. We had one comment too from a history episode we did in January.
Okay, yep. Get going.
About the birth of rugby league in Australia. And it was from the USA rugby league fan who we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, "This is great stuff."
That was a good episode. I like that episode.
Well done, League Freak, on that episode. You did good.
There's a lot of research I put in.
Great stuff.
We're going to be doing the follow-up to that episode in the next couple of months too, aren't we?
Weeks.
Ooh.
Next couple of weeks.
Excellent.
I've done a great deal in the last 2 days. I put out my plan of what I was going to do, and I'm falling a little bit behind, but got a few days off work coming up, so I'll catch up on that. But, yeah, I want to try and get that done before the end of the month, and worst-case scenario, the first week of May.
Okay.
So we're looking at getting that done pretty soon.
That'll be so cool. You were telling me some of the stuff that you found that doesn't get talked about in the overall story of the sport when people have written about it, and it's going to be really cool to talk about that on the podcast that we do.
Yeah, it's kind of like when we went through those, the 90s episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then you just come across a little bit of information that you can tell when you're reading it that it's not important to the overall story of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're looking at it going, that's a pretty unique fact that no one's ever bothered to go, yeah, we might just put it in just for fun.
Yeah.
We're going to put it in just for fun. The one thing that I will reveal is some of the advertising that I've seen for some of the meetings when the clubs were being formed.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when the people organising rugby league were, when it came to a specific clubs, where they weren't too sure whether they were on board or not, they'd talk up the meeting a little bit. So one of the adverts said, "Monster meeting tonight." And it ramped up a lot of interest. And sure enough, when they got there, the hall they went to was just absolutely chock-a-block. People were at the doors and went, yep, that's exactly what we wanted to see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool.
He's like part WWE promoter.
Yeah, they're real geniuses with how they did it all, hey?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that was pretty cool. But, yeah, hopefully we'll get that out pretty soon. I actually had a few messages from a bloke called Greg Stock. He's loving the history stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a message on, when was this, Thursday? "Any history pods planned for the near future, mate?" I said, "Yeah, we're working on one near." He goes, "Brilliant." And he said, "It's a great thing that you're doing these to educate the masses on the game's origins in Australia." And he says he absolutely loves the history ones. Listen to the last one 4 times to take it all in.
Wow.
So
that's brilliant. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, well, look, we would love to be doing one a week, but like it takes, because Andrew does the research for it all, because he's the historian, and he like Andrew gets access to a lot of things that Like, there's times where you talk to me about how you've got access to, like, old articles and stuff, and I wouldn't have even known the first clue of how to do any of that. So, like, I just leave it mostly to Andrew, and it takes him time and to do it right as well. Like, we've always wanted to do it right when we're talking about the history of the game and stuff like that. So that's why it takes a little bit of time.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think too with these history ones, it would be easy to just rehash. And with the last one we did, and it's going to be continuing with this one, is I kind of wanted to do as much as I could without being able to talk to anyone, get the history of it from how the fans would have experienced it, which is through the newspapers and through the media there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what you've got in the history books, like Sean Fagan's great books and the research he's done, goes beyond what's in the newspapers. Mm-hmm. And still, I absolutely urge people, if you can get a hand on that book or go to the library or whatever, you should read it because it's absolutely phenomenal read. Legit, my favorite book that I've got here. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make sure that I wasn't rehashing what he did. I wanted to get just how the game was being reported and that whole movement in the media, because you get a feel of how it was being perceived in the community. You can see how the media is portraying it. And back then, the great thing was, if people in society, people in the community, if they wrote in a letter saying that they disagreed with how the media was reporting on it, or if they were supporting it, they'd publish that letter.
Yeah.
It was like they were being fair and balanced.
I know them words, those words are English words, but used in conjunction with each other. I don't know what that means.
That's right. It's crazy. And so that's what made this so great. Because when I was doing the research for it, I was going, hang on. I think we've got something here. I might just keep going down this path and frame it like this.
Yeah.
And so that's what made it really cool, because you're able to follow it chronologically, but also see how the community and the media respond to it. You're getting both sides of the story. And it's just, it was a lot more fascinating than I ever anticipated it to be. So, yeah, the next episode is going to be on the 1908 season in a very similar format. And by the time we get to the end of that, it'll tie in to the 1909 season that we did a few years ago.
Yeah.
So you've got basically the birth and the first two seasons all sorted out there.
Yeah, it's very cool. The thing I liked about it was, you know, the story that you and me have read, like it feels like you've heard it 100 times and read about it and stuff. But what you uncovered was a little bit different, and it was from a different perspective. And I thought that was really, really cool. And it just made it all so real and gave it so much color. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't dry. It wasn't like reading back, it felt like you could connect with it more, and you could connect with the people more in some way.
That's right. No, I fully agree. And that was what was fascinating about it, because it was, instead of just being all straight up facts like you're reading out of an encyclopedia, there was bits of opinion in there. There was quotes from people at the time and sort of stuff. So it felt a bit more relatable, I guess, which is always hard to do when you're talking about, you know, the importance of why amateurism was so important. It's so hard to convey that now, because it just seems like the opposite of what's fair.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is too that when you're going back and talking about an era in life where you can't look at a video of someone, like people find it hard to connect with people from a certain number of years back. And like this is over a century ago that we're talking about, you know. And it can be really hard to connect with somebody that lived that long ago. But I think that, you know, in that episode that come through, you could connect with those people and what was going on and the feeling at the time. And that was a really cool part of it. 'Cause it's funny, like, and younger people do this especially, where you kind of think, oh, yeah, back a certain number of years ago, like people weren't that smart. And it's like, no, they were just as smart as we are these days. They maybe didn't have as much information at hand, but some people still had a lot of information that they were able to gather through their lives. And that's why when the people that made rugby league in, you know, in Sydney, there were so many people from so many different backgrounds that all brought a little piece of the puzzle together. And that's why they did such a good job of it, because they'd had these other experiences in other areas. Some of it was in sport and things like that. And they were able to bring it all together. And that's why it worked so well, because they did have, I mean, they were geniuses with how they did it. Like, they basically didn't put a foot wrong. It was incredible what they did.
Oh, yeah, it was fascinating. And that's something that I didn't realize too, is how they played the media into, because the media was on the side of rugby to start with. They played the media by not talking to them and giving them much information, and made them jump at shadows, which then made the rugby union jump at shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And that just exacerbated everything badly for the rugby union. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So that was cool to do that. Mm. So that's coming up. So that's going to go through everything, the formation of clubs that played in 1908, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole first season. So, it's going to be another big episode.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, hey?
Absolutely. Likewise. I haven't finished it yet. was there anything else we needed to get out of our systems here?
Not really. It's been an interesting weekend in that there was some good footy played, a lot of close games, but there were no big blow-ups or anything. There were no big, like, scandals or anything like that. And it was good to see. My Panthers didn't play this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how they go next week in Bathurst against the Tigers, where the Tigers have been really good against us in Bathurst for whatever reason. So we'll see how that plays out.
Just better.
How dare you? I tell you, one of the things I saw this week was there was a quote by, I think it was Blocker Roach, and he was saying how Richardson, who's the current coach of the West Tigers, he doesn't understand what the Tigers are about, because, you know, they've dared to talk about maybe playing less games at Leichhardt Oval because they lose money there.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't know what the Tigers are about, and he really needs a lesson about what the Tigers are about.
Yes.
And then, like, a couple of days later, we get a full house in Campbelltown. and the funny thing was, I had a West Tigers fan saying, yeah, it's a full house, but, and they might have made more money there, but, you know, what you can't buy is nostalgia. That's priceless. And all I could think of was, like, nostalgia didn't save Balmain.
No, it certainly didn't. You know? All West.
Yeah, all West, yeah. So, but it's,
I did see that. His quote was, Shane Richardson, I challenge you. You don't know what it means to the people that follow the Tigers. You've got no idea. He probably doesn't even know that Lauren Nichols has a lane named after him. Why is that important?
Yeah, that's the thing. But the thing is that in the media, the only people that they get to talk about the Tigers are old Balmain players for some fucking reason. Yeah. Balmain hasn't existed for, like, a quarter of a century now.
That's right. It's nuts. I did make a comment about that on Twitter. I said, next on Triple M, the great-great-great-grandson of Harry Bloomfield joins us to complain about how the NRL has simply forgotten about the Cumberland Club that his great-great-great-grandfather played for. I think also Bryce Gibbs replied.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've had a shitload of concussions. Someone has to let Blocker know Balmain and West are done. Maybe if they got the job done in 1989, they'd still be here. In the meantime, he can come over to my joint here in Bundina and borrow my ring.
Yeah. Yeah, like, well, the thing that gets me is, like, why don't we hear from West Tigers players that have played for them? Like, you just don't hear from them.
Well, yeah, still, we don't even hear from West Magpies players from the 90s.
Never, ever. Where's fucking Andrew Willis?
Bingo. You don't even hear from Darren Center. And he's got stunning teeth. He should be on TV.
He should be on TV every single day.
Yeah. I mean, bloody versatile. He could be the host and the guest.
He could. He could. He could be like Braith and Asta, but good.
Yeah. He should just do NRL 360 all on his own.
I fucking hate it when you watch a game and they say, they'll be talking about this on NRL 360, and it's like, can you please shut the fuck up? That's not the carrot that you think it is.
Yeah, that's not a carrot at all. That's a fucking turnip.
The alcoholics will be talking about this one.
Oh, cricket. Yeah, there was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Darragh Fell had a stat during the week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say, I'm not saying this. I didn't respond to this to be in any way disrespectful to Tara Jones, but the RFL came out and said, Tara Jones will make more history on Sunday, becoming the first female to referee a senior professional rugby league game in the Northern Hemisphere. And I corrected them by saying that Casey Badger officiated the first international game by and between the Philippines and Thailand in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And that was played in Thailand, which is in the Northern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't regarded as an official international. So just to cover, I said, she also refereed a 2022 World Cup game at St. Helens between Tonga and Wales.
Yeah, and I saw Ian Golden talk about that too. Like, yes. I saw him bring it up because I saw them promote it, and I just started tweeting back, you're wrong. Because I remember Casey doing the game in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And then Ian actually pinpointed the game. And so I started just like copying the tweet that he did and then writing user wrong and putting Ian's tweet there. Because it was like when I saw it was like 3 a.m. or something ridiculous. And they got told and they kept pushing it.
Yeah, and they haven't even taken the article down or or corrected it. They just left it there. And I had a heap of people coming up to me saying, oh, what they really meant was what they really meant is what they typed.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't add, like, but we meant like this bit and this and this and only and this and then, it sounds less impressive now, doesn't it?
Hmm.
And you just get it right.
Yeah, I saw, like, you know, you see the typical, because there's a bunch of people at Shill for the Rugby Football League for Access, and they just kept pushing the line out. And it's like they have all been told that they're wrong and they don't care, which is really telling.
That's correct. I got one more thing.
Okay.
It's not really a rugby league thing.
Okay.
It's to do with one of our listeners.
Okay.
Julie.
Oh, yeah. I talked to Julie recently.
I think she was doing some work on her website. She's got a website?
Yeah, yeah.
I keep forgetting what it is.
Not to brag, but I did most of the work on it. It was basically my website.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But she said, how did I miss 4,000 lines? Oh, well, she'll be done by the weekend. And I said, sounds like you're enjoying your trip to the Gold Coast.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, she's working on a spreadsheet.
See, she's actually worked really hard on it's a giant website. It's much bigger than my website straight off the bat. You could look at, because I can see how many articles I've posted and how many pages there are, and her website's considerably bigger. So she's worked really hard on it, and it's going to be really cool to see when it comes out. It's nothing to do with rugby league, but, she's worked hard on it. It's good to see.
It is indeed. It is indeed. She's done splendidly.
Yeah.
I've given her a little bit of help with Excel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's about all I can offer because – me, I'm not great with figuring out how websites work. I can do Excel, but I need intelligent people to do website stuff. That's why I just give you all the domains to buy. I'll figure it out later. I'll do the rest later.
Dude, they're costing me so much. The exchange rates are killing me.
People need to start buying them.
It'd be so good. I'd be so thankful.
We're going to find a way to make sure we push them up just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you need to turn them into Ponzi coins.
I guess I could some way. I don't know how. But...
Just say that they're mining websites. Sell them off.
You obviously have no idea how Ponzi coins work.
No idea at all. You just got to scam people. That's all I know. They use the word mining every now and then.
This is how they work, right?
Okay.
Let me tell you how they work. Right?
Turn it off. Shut it down.
You take your money and you hand your money over, and it's like gambling, but it's not. It's an investment.
Sure.
And then you hopefully make money, and then you take your money out.
Yep. How'd that go for you?
I managed to not lose money.
See, that's pretty impressive, because most of the people in recent times in Ponzi have been not going well.
I was lucky in that I was at a point where, and I think my car needed work on it or something, and I was like, I'm better off having this money now. So I took it out, and then just before I took it out, it really crashed down. And it's gone back up. Yeah, it was pure fucking luck. But I kind of needed to have the money.
Because, you know, can't buy petrol with Ponzi coins.
You can't. You can't. I think you can in Venezuela, but not in Australia. Yeah,
that's a long way to drive.
It is. It is.
A lot of petrol.
Yep.
Have we ticked all the boxes and got all the admin done?
We have, yeah.
All right, then. Well, we'll put a bow on this one then and send it off. What do you reckon?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Make sure you check us out on all the socials. I should remember what they all are again now, and just saying, just in case everyone's forgotten, because it's been a while.
Just go Fergo Freak Pod and you'll find it. No spaces.
It's everywhere. I'm sure all the links are either on leaguefreak.com,
yep,
or they're on the Fergo Freak Pod Twitter account.
Yeah, or fergoandfreak.com as well.
There you go. Check all of those out. We've basically done it all now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can like and subscribe all the videos on YouTube, that'd be sweet. And we'll catch you all next time.